Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In light of, and I want to begin by saying, in light of the salvation that we have, the salvation that has been freely given to us in the blood of our Savior, because it's finished, because salvation is finished and we can rest and rest from that. These gifts that we have been looking at the last few weeks, these have had a huge impact on me. The Spirit of God wrote this word and gave it through the Apostle Paul, and he is speaking about our reasonable service because of the finished work of Christ. And he said gifts have been given to God's people for the service of the ministry, and this has honestly had a huge impact on me. He listed seven of them right here. And I know you've experienced this. Sometimes you have moments, whether it's through hearing a message or whether it's through reading the Word, you have moments where a word just really sinks in. You just hear something or read something and it just makes an impression on you. And a lot of times I realize that I've saw that already and knew that already. I just have seen it more. It's just more clearly and more fervently impressed on me. Well, that's what I feel about these gifts, the exhortation of these gifts. I've always known that these things were serious and they needed to be taken seriously. Before I ever preached my first message, I knew that preaching was a serious thing. I knew that. But I feel like the Lord has allowed me to just enter in more fervently to how serious this thing of preaching is, how critical it is and how vital it is, and how serious we need to take this. If the Lord has called on us to do this, we need to take it so seriously. We're not just here to throw an outline together. And what hits me is I have a lot of volume to deliver. I have a lot of volume. I think that's the only way I know to say it. We do a TV broadcast and we do a Wednesday night service and we prepare a bulletin. And if the Lord gives me an article, I try every now and then to write an article in it. And then we have a Bible study, a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and the whole thing starts over. And what has greatly impressed me is we're not just here to, well, that's an outline. Let's throw that one out there. We're here to speak a word from God. I mean, when that sinks in, we're here to stand up on God's behalf. The Apostle Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God Himself was speaking to you. You talk about make a man want to sit down and shut up. I mean, when that really just, oh. I mean, we're here to preach the truth, but we're here to stand up on God's behalf in front of God's people. That is a prime example of how this has just hit me, really hit me. So we need to take our preaching seriously, and that's what he's saying in this. And he goes on through these, and he says we need to take our ability to help in the ministry in any way that we can. He said ministering. We need to take it seriously. And we need to take our teaching of these things seriously, both our making sure that we teach these things as clearly as we can and our learning of these things. We need to take them seriously. We need to take our witnessing of the gospel seriously. There are people who we would love to witness the gospel to, but we just don't because we don't. We just don't. And, you know, somebody would say, well, why would I want to really worry myself with that? If they are elect, if God elected them, they're going to be saved. You know, why would I want to run the risk of offending them or run the risk of ruining our relationship? Here's why. It's because God said that He chose to use the means of witnessing the gospel message to call His people to Himself. And God, if He has purposed to save one, He will not let that one go without hearing the good news of Christ. That good news message will come to that person. And He may use us to bring it to them. So we can't just take that for granted. We need to tell men and women that the work of salvation is finished in the blood of Christ. We need to take our giving seriously. We need to support His work and support this message. Life is too short. Death is coming. Hell is coming. We need to take it seriously. And he goes on to say we need to take our ruling seriously and we need to take our mercy seriously. And those last two, that's what we're going to try to cover this morning. These are included in what Paul called gifts for the service of the ministry. And if God does give us these two things, they would be true gifts to this ministry. They would be two very, very true gifts to the ministry here. Look at the middle of verse 8. It says, "He that ruleth with diligence, let him do it with diligence." This is a very important exhortation to all of us. It's important for those who have been called on to take part in leading our worship. And it's important for all of us as members, as worshipers in our worship service. It's important for all of us. And the reason is because that's what ruling with diligence is pertaining to. The word ruleth means to stand before. It means to preside. It means to practice or maintain rule. That's what we're doing when we conduct a worship service. We are standing before. We are presiding. That's what it's called when a man handles the order of the service. If I leave and I ask a man to make announcements and this and that, I'm asking him, will you preside over the service? We're also in this practicing and maintaining rule. We see it right now. We all come in and we love each other and we're talking and we're hugging and we're all those things. And then when the time comes, we all sit down and very quietly, very orderly, worship our Lord. And the exhortation here is, whoever presides over it needs to do it with diligence. Now, I want to explain to you what this means, but first I want to tell you what it does not mean. The reason I say it's important for a worshiper who's not presiding to know this is because you need to know if the man presiding over you is doing it with diligence. All right, this is what it does not mean. Ruling with diligence does not mean ruling over God's people, as though the one presiding considers himself to be the ruler of everybody. My way or the highway. The one who presides over is not the one who puts his thumb on everything. That's not what ruling means, not at all. There is only one ruler, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our ruler. We have no hands but his hands. I'd love for that to be our slogan. You know, everybody goes around saying, well, God has no hands but your hands. Well, here's the truth. That's not so. We have no hands but his hands. Therefore, there's no thumb but his thumb. The only authority that the man presiding has is the Word of God. Outside of that, there's no authority. We're all brothers and sisters together, cut from the same lump. So if a man is going to preside over the worship of God's people, that man needs to realize the people do not answer to him. God's people don't answer to the man. God's people answer to God. They all answer to God. All ruling must be unto him and not unto us. It must be according to his word and not according to my word. Well, I'm the pastor, and if I say I think it needs to be this way, no. It must be according to his word. Romans 14, if you look, it's across my page here. Romans 14, verse 4, it says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth." That means God will rule his own people. He's the controller. He's the teacher. He's the corrector. He's the instructor. We're just the ones setting forth his word. That's all. Somebody will say, well, what about the scriptures like, obey them that have the rule over you? What about that scripture? Amen. That's our ruler's commandment to us. But this is what we must understand. This right here. If a man is called on to rule, this is what God has to say about it. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. Verse 1, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." He said, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Verse 3, he said, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another," all of us, "and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." So ruling with diligence is not thinking that I have the rule and everybody's going to have to crawl up under my thumb. That's not it at all. All right, then what is it? Back in Romans 12, we've already said that the word ruleth means to stand before, to preside, to practice or maintain rule. And the word diligence means with earnestness. It means to interest one's self most earnestly. It means with much care. Our Lord, our ruler, has ruled us with much care. He interested his own self most earnestly, with much care. And in light of that, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to conduct our worship of him, that's what we're here to do. We're here to worship him. If I'm going to conduct that, I need to care about it. I need to care about it. I need to care about how it goes. I need to care about whether or not true worship takes place. If I'm going to do this, if any of us are going to do this, I'm not the only one who presides, and I'm not the only one who preaches, and such on and so forth. If any of us are going to do this, then we need to do everything that we can to not be a hindrance to the true worship of God's people. Everything we can. if I'm going to take this lightly, then I don't need to do this. Whatever it is that I'm called on to do, I need to take it seriously. I mean seriously. It doesn't need to be put on the back burner. I'll get to it when I get to it. I need to take it seriously. I need to be prepared, and I need to do it as unto the Lord, as though I was standing before the Lord doing it, because I am. That's scary. We don't want to just get up here and wing anything. Have you ever seen a man stand up in a pulpit and wing it? We don't want to do that. We need to be prepared. We need to take it seriously. If we're called on to rule, we need to do it with diligence. Diligence. Now, let me just make these comments, and I'm going to say something quickly about the last gift that Paul mentions. Whether we're preaching, this is for the good of our ministry here. This is our reasonable service for the good of our ministry. Whether we are preaching or reading scripture or leading in prayer or leading the singing or even just standing up to make announcements, whatever we do, it needs to be done reverently. It needs to be done reverently. It needs to be done in the fear of the Lord. You think about how in the Old Testament they handled those Old Testament pictures and types and the service of the law. Oh, they were so fearful before the Lord. It needs to be done unto the Lord. Whatever we do, if we pray, we need to pray unto the Lord, not unto the people who are listening. Whatever we do, it doesn't need to be unto anybody but the Lord. This is not a place, and this is not a place for entertainment. And this is not a place for entertainment. It's not a place to try to impress anybody. If a man is called on to read, don't try to impress anybody. If we're called on to pray, don't try to impress anybody. If we're called on to sing, don't try to impress anybody. When I ask men to do things and they say, I'm not good at it, I say, great, you're my man. If a man says, why don't you ask me? I'm pretty good at it. You're not my man. Don't try to impress anybody. Don't put on a show for anybody. This is not a place to be funny. You and I both know that every now and then I'll say something that comes out funny, and we all laugh, and I stand behind that. That's a good thing. I think that's a very good thing. Our Lord laughed. Joy and laughter, absolute rejoicing, breaks out in heaven every time one sinner repents. There was a dear man who used to he was a pastor, and he'd show up at the conferences, and you'd hear that man laughing. Everybody would think, I remember him as a kid. He passed away a long time ago, but I'd hear that man laughing, and I'd think, what is so funny? He was so happy over the message he was hearing. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. We are not self-righteous, and we are not stuck up. And you don't have to have a furrowed brow to be reverent. When people can laugh together, it means they're happy together. But with that being said, this is not a platform for comedy. We're not just going to get up here and just kind of make everybody listen. It's not a platform for comedy. The pulpit is not. The pew is not. There's nothing funny or especially flippant or casual. There's nothing casual about what we're doing here. We need to reverently keep that in mind. If our Lord will allow us to remember that, it will be a good thing for this ministry. If we never get down the road and lose our reverence and turn this thing into a big show, and it'll be good for this ministry. Okay, now I'm going to be brief here. The last gift Paul mentions in the service of the ministry is showing mercy. The end of verse 8, if you go with me, I don't know if you're already in Romans 12. The end of verse 8, it says, "He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Showing mercy right here means showing compassion. Helping the afflicted. That's what it means. We very briefly touched on this a few weeks ago. I brought up the example that you ladies, when a family is in need, I don't even think of it. And then I'll hear that somebody has made a sign-up sheet and everybody's getting on it to bring meals to a family who has been afflicted in some way. And that is so thoughtful. That's such a good thing to do. I mean, we could either think of that and do that here or not think of that and not do that here. That is such a good thing. That's a good thing for the ministry of the gospel, to have that thoughtfulness, that showing of mercy. Keep doing that. We need to keep doing that. That is what this is talking about when he's talking about showing mercy with cheerfulness. And the root of that is nothing makes us want to do that quite like seeing the mercy that our Lord has shown to us. That's why we do it to each other. Turn with me over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 8. It says, "The Lord is merciful." Now, this has really impacted me. This has really, really impacted me. I pray the Lord will impact all of us with this. The Lord, just think about Him for one second. The Lord is merciful. And He's gracious. He is slow to anger, and He is plenteous in mercy. Does that just sink into your heart? If you think about how He deals with people, His dealings with people, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Verse 9 says, "He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Christ was merciful to us when He bore our sins for us. And Christ was merciful to us when He hung on that tree for us. Christ was merciful to us when He emptied all of the blood out of His body to pay our debt. Christ was merciful to us when He allowed the wrath of God to beat down on Him instead of us. He was merciful to us. Verse 10 says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." He dealt with Himself after our sins. And He rewarded Himself according to our iniquities. And this is what has made a great impression on me. And I hope I learn this and I hope I do this. Sometimes these things are so much easier said than done. But I pray the Lord will teach me this and apply this to me. Because of that, we should not deal with each other after our sins. And that's how we deal with each other. That is how we deal with each other. We should not reward each other. "Oh, okay, that's what you're going to do for me. Well, here's my reward to you." We should not reward each other according to each other's iniquities. Showing compassion to someone who has not wronged you, being kind and bringing that meal over there to somebody who has not wronged you, but only been gracious to you, That's a good thing to do. Keep doing it. But Christ showed compassion to those who had sinned against him and cursed him and rebelled against him. He showed compassion to those who needed mercy from him. Didn't even realize it, but needed mercy from him. And as he's done for us, let's do that for each other. This would be so good for our ministry. This would be so good for the church here. And I tell you why. This group loves each other and is close to each other. We have to be. We don't have any choice. This building is like a 25 by 25. And when we go to this new church building, one of my biggest concerns, and I know it's been one of yours too, is that we'll all start to separate and go to the four corners of that building, because that building's like a 50 by 45. I don't want to do that. I don't care if I'm 5 feet from you or 20 feet from you. I don't want to do that. This would be so good for our ministry. This would be so good for Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, and especially between the ministries. If the Lord would allow us to not reward each other after how we wrong each other, we have, do, and will. But if we will deal with each other like Christ dealt with us and truly show mercy, truly be kind. You know what he did to me? May God give me a heart to love him, forgive him, be friends with him. He's my brother. If he's going to be in heaven and I'm going to be in heaven, if God forgave his sin, then Lord, please let me do it too. If you've already forgiven that, would you please teach me to, as you have shown mercy, would you teach me to show mercy? I don't need my wrath to come down on him if yours didn't. If you rewarded Christ for that, you see what I'm saying? Oh, may God teach us what it is to be merciful. Verse 11, he said, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Let's remember that for each other. I'm begging you, would you remember my frame? Would you please remember my frame? I'm just a sinner saved by grace like everybody else. I'm just dust. From dust I came, to dust I'll return in this flesh. Forgive me. I'm begging you, forgive me. Whenever I give you that reason, not if, when I give you that reason, forgive me. And may God give me a heart to forgive you and show kindness to you for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Thank God he did not cut us off. Well, that's what you've done to me? Psh, I'm cutting you off. I've done that to people. I'm not cutting you off. That's what he said. I will not cut you off. Cut me off. Nope, not doing it. For Christ's sake. When there is an opportunity to preach, if God gives any of us an opportunity to preach, let's take it seriously. For Christ's sake, if God gives us an opportunity to help in the work of this ministry, let's take it seriously. For Christ's sake, if God gives us an opportunity to teach, let's take it seriously. If God gives us, for Christ's sake, an opportunity to witness, let's take it seriously. Before you do, pray, Lord, give me the words. Put your spirit in me. Tell me what you'd have me to say. Take it seriously. For Christ's sake, if God gives us an opportunity to forgive and to give and support the gospel, let's take it seriously. For Christ's sake, if God gives us an opportunity to truly worship, let's take it seriously. And for Christ's sake, when there is an opportunity to show mercy, let's take that opportunity seriously. And Paul said in our text, do it cheerfully. Not just show mercy, but he said, do it cheerfully. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Pray the Lord will profit that to us. All right, you're dismissed.